Many companies engage on team bonding every now and then. I ask yourself, are they that disconnected that they are always embarking on team bonding? You see them going on various trips, vacations. I ask yourself, okay, what's the disconnection? So it shows that something is wrong with that organization. So there's need for the company to be able to be moderate.
Hi everyone, welcome to Modern Workplace Conversations, where we explore critical and often underdiscussed topics within the professional world. Every week we feature experts ranging from HR professionals to operators to lawyers and CEOs to provide you with diverse perspectives on workplace issues, trends and best practices. I'm Oluwanifemi Kolawole, Senior Editor, TechPoint Africa. Today we are discussing an important topic, which is stakeholders management in the workplace. Who exactly are the stakeholders in your company? What are the best practices for managing them? How do you categorize stakeholders based on their level of interest and influence? And what are the warning signs telling you it's time to part ways with a stakeholder? Plus, how do you undo a high influence but problematic stakeholder? Also, which model can help you assess a stakeholder's dispensability? To answer all these questions and more, I'm joined by Okoyemi Fademi, Head of Operations and Strategic Risk Partnership at Possible EV, a Nigerian company specialized in electric vehicle technology, sustainable mobility solutions, and renewable energy. Okoyemi brings a wealth of experience as a business analyst, consultant, transport manager, and logistics and supply chain expert. Hi, Okoyemi. Thank you for joining me on this conversation. I think a good place to start is talking about, try to explain stakeholders in the simplest form, like stakeholder for dummies. Let's just do that before we get into this conversation.
Okay, so 2017, I was privileged actually to work with a trading outfit. And in the process, I was exposed to business analysis and project management, even though I did elementary project management in school. But when I was delving into business analysis, I discovered that stakeholders are an integral part of an organization. And while in school, when we did the course in management, in human resource, now human resource is, what's it called? A faction of the business. Now, which deals with the human resources, that's the main part of the organization. But then management has, or any business, we have different assets. When we talk about the materials, the machines, the methods, the men, process, they are all, assets of an organization. So the men, which is the human part, actually is a very complex nature, because you can have every other asset, and if you miss it in the men part, you have actually come to a closure of that business. And then the fact that business analysis has to do with, enabling change in an enterprise, that talks about redefining the needs and then recommending solutions that are valuable to stakeholders. Now, who are stakeholders? Stakeholders are people involved, people interested, people impacted, people affected by your business. Now, when we talk about people involved are those that are internal. They are the ones ensuring that inputs are processed to outputs. Now, people that are consulted, talked about the domain subject matter experts, the regulators, people that you need to inform before you can embark on that business or project. And then people that can be affected. Of course, for you being in business, your competitor is number one enemy. Also, the environment which you are operating is also can stand against you tomorrow if you don't put them into perspective. That's why we have, for example, in the Niger Delta region, we have oil spillage, and they had no choice than to have a roundtable discussion with those people in the community to be able to ensure that, yes, what are your needs What are your expectations? Because you don't just define the needs of the stakeholders. You also look at their expectations. There are some things they are not saying that you, as a business owner, must factor in. Because if you don't factor it in, as minute as it might seem, it can destroy the whole business. For example, in logistics as well, by the time you define your raw materials, you define a nice, supply chain process, and then in the process, your driver can decide to take your goods away. Your driver can decide to, cause delay in delivering the product, which will pose a lot of problem, a lot of challenge to the organization. So they are all part of the critical part. They are all critical to the part of the business. So not just looking at, these people are just here to just, I'm paying them to the job for the job they are doing. It goes beyond that. Because at the end of the day, if you don't take care of your employees, which are the internal part, if you don't take care of your customers, which are also the reason why you're generating returns, they might decide to go to your competitors. And at the end of the day, you now find yourself starting all over again. So stakeholder management did not just come all of a sudden. It emanated from the analysis of business. Now, when you define the business, because nowadays business just goes beyond making profits. Everybody's looking at standing the test of time, that's sustainability. And then from there, you know, what are the requirements that you need to be able to achieve your results in your business? So we have four types of requirements. We have the business requirement, we have the stakeholders requirement, we have the solutions requirement, and we have the transition requirement. You can see that the stakeholder requirement comes when we are analyzing the business requirement. And what are requirements? Requirements are a usable representation of a need. Need is the problem to be solved or an opportunity you want to take advantage of. Now, stakeholders' requirement talks about the needs, the expectations of people that will be working, that you will be interacting with, both internal and external. Those you must interact with for you to be able to achieve the business requirement. Because the reason why I'm working where I'm working is because somebody had a goal. The reason why you are working where you are working is because somebody had a goal. There's a vision. Or there's a goal to be achieved, and then the business cannot achieve the goal. The business cannot achieve the goal on its own, so they need people. That is why where you are working as well, they have to just, who are the best fit for this that will still bring about the goal that we want to achieve. That is bringing in a stakeholder. So stakeholders go beyond government, goes beyond employees, your competitors are stakeholders that you must factor in, your customers, your suppliers, regulatory bodies, there are people you must, and then also the environment you are operating. That's why so many businesses embark on CSRs to their community, because they want the community to also know that you are part of our business, and we also value the fact that they're giving us an enabling environment to be able to do what? To thrive.
Thank you. That's like a comprehensive explanation of what a stakeholder is, because I think what business owners need is a mindset shift. If you don't agree or accept that these people hold a stake in what you're running, you will not treat them the way they're supposed to be treated. For instance, employees hold a stake, customers hold a stake, competitors hold a stake. So I think changing the mindset of these people are just random entities around my business will help you to know how well to treat them so that they can contribute to the goal of the business. And I like that you actually went in depth and actually listed some of the stakeholders, humans that are involved in the success of a business. And I think you've also touched on the importance of having a stakeholder or having understanding stakeholders in your business. Now, I think we should just go to managing them, because you mentioned humans are the most, how do I put it?
Complex.
The most complex, difficult asset or resource in any business. So now, these people are, some of them are internal, some of them are external. So how do you approach managing them?
Okay, there's what we call stakeholders' engagement. Now, this talks about how we develop an approach to establish and maintain effective working relationship with stakeholders. Now, we have a list. Before you can say you want to work with a, what's it called, a stakeholder, you have to identify who are my stakeholders. After analyzing the, what's it called, the stakeholders, what are their characteristics? What feature, what's it called now? What are their strengths? What are their weaknesses? What is peculiar to this, what's it called, stakeholder that makes them fit for the business or the project? Once you have identified the stakeholders, that means you create a list of all the stakeholders that you know are vital to your business or your project. Then you now carry out an analysis of those stakeholders. At this point, you are trying to know, develop their roles, you're trying to know their attitude towards the goal you want to achieve, their decision-making authority, and also the level of power or influence. Now, there's an adage that says all animals are equal, but some are more equal than the others. At that point, by the time you know the list and the characteristics of each stakeholders, you'll be able to know how to prioritize the stakeholders. Don't forget, all of them are all important, but they can never be equal, because out of your stakeholders, you have investors. Am I communicating? You have, what's it called? Government is there, regulatory bodies are there. So these are the people, the way you handle them will be different from the way you handle your employee. So what you need to do is to be able to carry out that analysis, identify the stakeholders, what are their roles, what are the attitude towards the goal you want to achieve, their level of decision making. Another one that you have to consider is their level of influence. How can they influence people? How can they influence results to be able to ensure that it is in accordance with the goal? And also the communication needs of stakeholders. Communication is actually one key aspect that most organizations are actually ignored. There was I was talking with someone that was last year, and he was telling me, he works with Enekin International, and he was telling me, he said he's a business analyst. Now, he works remotely, and then they have other what's called people that they work together, stakeholders that they work together. So there's these stakeholders of his that if he sends him a mail, he will not respond. But if he sends him a WhatsApp chat, automatically he gets it. So he has been able to identify that, oh, this is the communication needs of these stakeholders. He has been able to understand how these stakeholders will be able to make his own work as a BA to be successful, to be smooth and effective. So all of them have peculiarities. So as a business owner, or as a business analyst, or a project manager, or a human resource person that deals with people, you must be able to know what is peculiar to each of your individual stakeholders. Now, we have different techniques of engaging them. You have brainstorming, where we cross-pollinate ideas. They tell you their needs and their expectations, because information you don't have, you cannot apply. And also, you have to carry out interviews with them. You also do what is called organizational modeling. Now, for example, in an internal organization, that's how we have the organizational chart, the organogram, to which makes us to know how all those employees, they are also stakeholders, they are internal stakeholders. Now, what you need to do, everybody knows the role they are playing. They have the, what's it called, the reporting lines. They know what to do per time. So you don't go beyond what is in your scope. You don't go out of your scope to be able to carry out your own part of the task. And then we have what is called stakeholders lists and personas. So the personas, which is what I've said earlier, talked about every details you have about the stakeholders. And then also workshop is also an important aspect. If you notice, when a government wants to construct a road, the first thing they do is to engage with the communities of that community. Now, what are they doing? They're trying to carry them along in what they want to do to ensure that they are also in full support. Let them know the reason why they are carrying out the road construction, the economic importance of that road, and everything that they will be expecting. So that is a workshop. And also survey or questionnaires. Of course, feedback. That's why most companies want people to give their feedback. Even online, we have different banking systems that they want you to rate the app. So these are ways of getting feedback to be able to know if we are right on track or not. And also, if you notice, last week GT Bank gave a warning that they'll be upgrading their system. They didn't just frankly enter that mode, they carried everybody along. Before they carried the customers along, they've actually dealt with everybody internally, let them know that this is what we want to embark on, and what are the usefulness, what is the effectiveness, or what is the importance of we upgrading our system. They will have communicated it with what every internal stakeholder before coming to the customers. And you have to inform the customer, because you don't want customers to panic. You don't want them to start withdrawing their funds to your competitors. So it shows that you value your stakeholders. So because if you don't allow your stakeholders to feel important, at the end of the day, they might destroy the business.
You've touched on how important stakeholder management is, what you should look out for about your stakeholders, get the persona of each stakeholders, how you can communicate with them, know their peculiarities. You've mentioned those kind of things. And it seems like there's a lot about stakeholders management. And I'm thinking, are there specific experts that needs to be hired or gotten to handle stakeholder management? Or is still the people that are in the company, say the managers, the employers, the HR managers, that also handle it? Or are there specific people that have that expertise of handling stakeholders for a company?
Okay, so I won't say you must have somebody that must, the sole work must be handling stakeholders. Now, it is a skill that everybody must have, because so far you are dealing with people every day, it is a skill that you must have. Ability to engage with people, ability to be able to understand the psychology of people, ability to be able to know what this person wants per time. It's something that we all must understand. That's why psychology, human resource are actually very good. But then, by the time you want to make decisions, there are some things you need to understand, the verbal and the non-verbal aspects. So you need to know, is this going to make sense for me? Is this going to make sense for this person? If I'm signing a contract and I see the contract, it is not a win-win situation and I will feel cheated. Somebody too might also feel cheated if they sign a contract. But the company, you have laid down the contract already for them. So it's not left for them to say, okay, this is what I want, this is what I don't want. Then you now come to common ground to be able to understand that. Oh, because there's no one way to handle human being. There is no one way to handle human being. Because, okay, for example, in the logistics, there was a time our driver actually loaded some goods from Honeywell. Now, 5 trucks, and then one of them decided not to move. Why? So the third party, we are not the owner of the truck. So he said, because the company, his owner, has not paid him for 2 days. So now you have not been paid for 2 days. You went to the owner of the truck told you to go to the warehouse of Honeywell to load. You got there, you even slept there, it was loaded. You did not do it. After the loading had been completed, you said you are not going because you have not been paid. So you are putting me at an edge. So every other person, I thought, because we were all moving at the same pace. So when those ones delivered and I was asking for I have to get updates, they told me the other person has not delivered. What happened? He switched off his phone. Nobody could reach him. I was already scared what could be happening. So I actually sent someone to trace driver, and eventually they traced him, and it was like, oh, he cannot go. And you know, they are most of them are erratic. They don't care about you. They can, unless you come down to their level. So eventually he was angry, he was saying he's not going to go, and my customer is expecting the product. So I had to pay him just to ensure that I don't want my customer to feel delayed. So I just said, don't worry, everything will be sorted. Just take this amount of money. You've not eaten. I asked the person that went to meet him, okay, get him food so that he'll be able to proceed to the delivery location. And that was it. Now, was that part of what I'm supposed to handle? No. Because the owner of the truck is supposed to handle the drivers himself. But because it's going to affect my own task, because I already developed an ETA for each delivery, and now we are already going behind schedule, it will be a lot of problem for myself. So one person does not have to be the one to be able to have a skill and organization to be able to engage stakeholders or manage stakeholders. It is something everybody in the organization is a skill that we must all possess. It's just that our level of experience, our level of exposure is what will now distinct each and every one of us from knowing who is a good stakeholder manager or a bad stakeholder manager. For example, during the NLC and federal government shenanigans, we could see that at the end of the day, they went on strike. They wanted something. And the federal government were like, we don't have this. So for them to make the federal government work, they had to embark on a strike. No, when they embarked on the strike, and the federal government knew that, oh, if my staff are not working, doesn't make any sense, because you still need them to work. So they had a round table discussion. All parties involved were brought together. Every department, also in the oil sector, every department has to be, you know, brought together to be able to reach a common ground. And then when they reach the common ground, everything was solved and they are back to work. So it involves you being analytical. It involves you being having human conscience. It involves you understanding what is called equity and fairness. It involves you understanding it's just like a chess move. Because you must be able to know, you are going to predetermine the next move of each of your stakeholders. So it's actually, and that takes us to be able to understand the power interest grid. We call it power interest grid, a matrix that is used to be able to analyze stakeholders. We also have the onion diagram, and then we also have the RESI matrix. For example, the RESI matrix talks about the responsible, accountable, consulted, informed. Now, by the time you have your stakeholders, you have different tasks. Who is responsible for this task? Who must be informed before we embark on this task? If anything goes wrong while carrying out this task, who should be accountable for it? And then who should we consult before we can embark on this task? So by the time you refuse to carry those that are supposed to carry you along, there'll be a problem. Now, let's assume a line manager gave his subordinate a task, carry out this task, and then send a mail to the supplier, for example, about this issue. Now, the subordinate now send the mail to the customer without copying is a line manager. It can lead to a problem because you are supposed to communicate and then put your manager in loop of the task he gave you. So this will help to ensure that you are open, you are not, some people can feel you are trying to take their job. All those little perception, you know, and as people assume a lot, particularly at the workplace, but you might not be passing that kind of message, but you have already made it a situation by it calls for second thought, so which can affect the relationship moving forward. So it's good to be able to understand. Wisdom is actually the principal thing. So wisdom is actually very key as well. So it's not, this skill is not something that must be taught. It's something we must grow with everybody, because one way or the other, we will deal with people. I don't know if you've seen those, market women, the way they also handle customers. Some people handle customers in a bad way, and some handle customers in a very good way. And even despite the fact that they are not learned, you see one moving having a lot of sales than another person that is even learned, and you ask, what's the secret? They have a transformational leadership style, an attitude that brings people together, and then things move fast for them. So that's it, basically.
Thank you, Okoyemi. You explained the characteristics expected of a stakeholder manager, and to be fair, any team manager or HR manager or even an employer have to imbibe these skills to be able to know how to manage their stakeholders. And one thing stood out to me, I think data and insight is very important when it comes to managing stakeholders, from one thing that you mentioned, because you have to understand what they've done in the past, how they reacted in some situations, and then extrapolate that to and use it to, what's it called, to anticipate what will come if they want to act again. That is very, very key. Now, I don't know if there's a way to categorize stakeholders, because when you know where they belong, you will know how much influence they have on your business and how to handle them.
Yes.
Even if there are categorization of stakeholders.
Of course, they are. That's why we have the power and the interest grid. So the power and the interest grid is, it helps us to be able to understand the level of power, level of influence of a stakeholder. Now, we have in the matrix, we have, what's it called? low power and low interest. We also have stakeholders that means stakeholders that have low power and low interest, stakeholders that have low power but high interest, stakeholders that have high power but low interest, and stakeholders that have high power and high interest. So on the y-axis we have the level of power and influence, the level of power and influence, of course, and then on the x-axis we have the level of what, interest. Now, why, how do we put that? Because one thing is, you must be able to know where your stakeholders fit in, to be able to know the type of information you are giving to them. It also helps you to know their decision making authority. It also helps you to know how resources will be managed. So it's split, the grid is split into four quadrants, which is what I have actually highlighted. So you should be able to know who are the stakeholders that fit into this. They don't have much power, you don't have much interest. So, but then you don't discard them, you carry them along. It's just that they are not part of your priority, but they are important. And then we have those that have high power but low interest. Government does not care about whatever you are doing, just ensure that you are obeying the rules of the game. But if you do anything wrong, they can sanction the business. So they are very powerful, but then they don't have much interest in your work, but just do what you're supposed to do. And then we have people that have high power but low interest. Sorry, government is high power and low interest. And then we have people that have high power and high interest. So these are your investors. Your investors are there. Your suppliers. Because by the time you don't supply the raw materials that you need, it will affect your output. So they too, they are interested in your business as well. Some of your employees are also part of they have high power, they have high interest, because they are part of this. You might have moved them to become shareholders. So whatever decision they take might affect the business eventually. So that power interest grid is used to be able to classify each stakeholders, their level of power and their level of interest. And this makes managing, it also helps us now develop strategies to manage each and every one of them in that category. Because information we don't have, we cannot apply.
Yes, that's valid. I think every manager, or no matter how small the team is, I think they should work on this power interest grid. Because once you are able to know where each party belongs, you will understand their level of interest and you will understand how much attention they should get.
Even when you know where they belong, you still have to understand that they are all important.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have that mindset, it won't help you to make one, because you must, even though everybody are not equal, some are more equal than the others, you must not allow others to know that you are treating some people fairly than them. It can cause another problem. If a stakeholder feels they are being treated in a partial way, so it will make them feel somehow, they'll feel bad, and that can lead to another problem. So human beings generally, they are very strong, complex. They are very complex. You can't exhaust managing human beings, because stakeholders are human beings. Stakeholders are human beings. So you see some people that, even while we're in school, lecturers, there's some lecturer that you cannot meet, that you'll be scared to approach. And then you see somebody approaching that lecturer in a very, and you see the lecturer being free with that person. You ask, is this not the same lecturer? And the question is, what is the secret that has made that person to be able to understand this kind of lecturer? So why, what can I, what do I need to do to be able to also do what? Ensure that I get, was it, because at the end of the day, you must pass the, you must excel the lecturer's course. And once you have hatred for a lecturer, you will not want to pass their course and it will affect. But at the end of the day, it is not the lecturer's fault. Who carries the grade? It's the student. So we need to have a way of working effectively and also maintaining relationship. But it's all about relationship.
Thank you very much, Opeyemi. Yeah. So, still talking about how important stakeholders are to a business, because the way you answer, even if you follow blueprints or guidelines to the core, you might still have issues. So, are there strategies to approach, maybe there is a misunderstanding with stakeholders? How do you undo them to avoid fallout, since they are all important to the progress?
Yeah, exactly. I'll give a case scenario. We're to load about 20,000 bags of flour from, what's it called, Tinkan to mainland. And entering Tinkan, this was around 2021. And entering Tinkan is a very delicate, before they now started the, what's it called? Now you can move it to Tinkan and come back. Then, but if you get to, what's it called, a particular part, you have to take bike because trucks cannot enter. So the whole place is, the roads are bad and it's, the gridlock over there is actually cumbersome. So now, this company, one of our partners, have been trying to move those goods from Tinkan to their warehouse. They've been having issues. For 6 months, they couldn't move those goods. Because trucks avoid going to that route. They avoid going to that route. So now, we want to be a new partner to that company. So we went to meet them. And then, they said, before they can onboard us, this is the challenge they have. This is the problem they have. If you can solve it, then they'll be giving us all their major deliveries from that axis, even our papa as well. And I said, okay, that's fine. Because for me, I believe there is no problem without solution, except we just want to pretend that there's no solution. Now, I went there, I told them to give me 2 weeks to do a pilot test. So I went there, look at all the stakeholders involved. I've already settled what I need to settle with the customer. I went to the manufacturing company, met with the transport section, the transfer department of the manufacturing company, and the sales department, look at them, and also the production unit, and then those that will load, and also the security, because I want the goods to get to them faster. Now, I was able to map out all those stakeholders, which is the client base, the manufacturing company, and also the next one is, when you are moving from point A to point B, who are the people that will hinder you from getting to your final destination? I discovered that we have the port. I went to the Nigerian Port Authority to have a conversation with them. I went to, what's it called? I met with LASMA. I went with the Nigerian police. And then the last but not the least, the unofficial tax collector that we call Admirals. So those ones, they are also there. So I put all of that. Then what do you need? What do you want me to do to be able to ensure that my truck is not delayed? So I was able to finalize everything in 10 days. After finalizing, they know the price they want to collect. I went to my client. For us to be able to do this, this and these are the things we need to put in place. We had negotiation, and then after concluding, they disbursed. And from there, the trucks were coming in and we're going out. The trucks were coming in and we're going out. I told them the time they'll be expecting each truck, the time the trucks will load. So we're looking at, you can't load during the day. So we'll make them to enter in the evening so you can leave as early as possible. So we're able to factor that out. And then the call up, there's what we call e-call up. They have to call up your truck before you can load. So I get ensure that all the e-call up we got them before the trucks get there. So I have somebody on standby that gets the call up, gives to the driver so that the driver can be easily passed at the MPA gate. So everything went so smooth to the point that this company were shocked that I was able to solve the problem that they've been looking for 6 months. I was able to solve it within 10 days. And I said, that's what effective stakeholders management. Everybody that you have been discussing with, they've been chasing you away with pride. And then you achieve the product, the project with minimal resources. I didn't charge you. I only ensure that everybody involved are well taken care of. They have, there's what you need to do. There are due processes which we followed, and everything went smooth. And at some point, there was the call. If I've not established that relationship, one of my drivers had to park in the wrong way. And if I'm parking in the wrong way, it's 100K to be able to release the truck. How much is the good? How much is the transport cost if you are collecting 100K already from it? So we're able to do what? Okay, but because I've already established a relationship, they actually minimized the whole thing and everything went so smooth. So managing, we have difficult stakeholders, and there are some stakeholders that there was a time I was privileged to develop a business plan. And then it got to a point that there was issue between me and the owner. And I'm like, okay, why? Because the owner is dipping hand into the business account for his personal project. And I said, it's okay if you want to dip hand into it, but then we have to follow due process. Because I understand it is a bit, but the power you gave me is to ensure that I also monitor your own funding, how you manage finances in the business. So now we actually reached the common ground, because you can't be using the company's business to finance personal projects. Because at the end of the day, we have to have access to how the finances are going, because this is the business plan and I have a structured time to be able to leave the company. So we had the common ground, and he understood that, oh, I will have the interest of his company. People are complex. There is no way that you can know it all in managing people. You have to just be careful and understand the fact that working with this person, what are the person's needs and expectations? What are the do's and don'ts in working with this person? Now, some people will not want you to bring your personal business to them. They don't care about that. You are coming to work, do your work, and go back home. So you're not taking your personal issues to them, and leave. You are trying to be emotional. You are trying to make it, what's it called, a family affair. It's an entity concept. When we are out of the business, we can talk about personal stuff. But when it comes to the business, let us, you know, calm down. And then there are some times that you need to also need to show empathy. You can't be, you know, stiff at all times, because not everybody has gotten it all figured out. We are all working towards perfection. Nobody's really perfect. But then we need to come together and understand that highlighting the needs and expectations of each stakeholders will help us to achieve the project or the business results.
Yeah, so will it be safe to say stakeholder management is both proactive and reactive, but more of proactive?
It is very good to be proactive, but sometimes when you are being reactive, so many things can go wrong. If you are being reactive, you don't need to wait until things go wrong before you know what to do at time.
Yeah, that's right. So if you find yourself at the position of managing stakeholders, how would you gauge if what you're doing is right, or what are the metrics you use to gauge that you're doing the right thing or you're seeing the right results?
First and foremost, there's what we called balance scorecard feedback. There's what we called interviews. Now, feedback from staff, feedback from senior managers, feedback from subordinates actually helps to know if a stakeholder is working. It makes us know if a manager is a good manager or not. Now, because your balance scorecard talks about your growth, your leadership, the financial part of what you are contributing to the organization. Because every employee of an organization have a quota that they contribute, and each quota is actually can be monetized in terms of, there is an amount we are getting from you for paying you this amount of money. So if you are not meeting up to that expectation, what do we need to do? Because we need to subject each and every one of us to a test. What are the metrics? What are the KPIs? We use what is called balance scorecard. We use a leadership style. Is it transformational? Is it autocratic? Is it democratic? Use that. What are the feedback you get from your, what is it called, in terms of human relations with people? How do you flow with people? And then your negotiation skills is also part of it. How do you also resolve conflicts among people in the organization? How vast do you do that? And then when you are you the type that actually support one and discard the other, or you are the one that finds a common ground for your win-win situation and know who is actually at fault and then bring them together to ensure that they can always work together to achieve the right result? Because one, working alone, we can't go far. We can go a little bit forward, but working together, we definitely go far. So everybody deserves to be, even in school, one of the reasons why you can make a good student is this, why you can make a student a good student is when a student is subjected to an exam or a test, because they want to know what's the result of a test and exam, to know if you have knowledge about that domain. So same way as a manager, you'll be subjected to metrics and key performance index for us to know if you are actually in line with what you have told us that you can do, with what you have signed in your offer letter, either as a consultant or as a staff. So these are ways we can know if you are actually doing well or not.
All right, thank you very much for that, Opoyemi. I don't know if it's safe to say that internal stakeholders are both high power and high interest. And if that is the case, what practices can business leaders adopt that can help them to keep this ones active when it comes to fulfilling the business goals and also keeping the connection between them intact so that it does not affect the company or the business negatively?
Good. Yeah, I will actually categorize them as high power and high interest stakeholders. Now, because one, if you don't take care of your employees, the employees will not take care of your customers. And once your customers feel they are not, if your customers are not satisfied, they switch to your competitors. Now, it is important for each organization to know the strengths and weaknesses of their employees, and to also ensure, create an inclusive system whereby everybody is seen as important, everybody is carried along based on the kind of information that they are supposed to have. Because you can't have all the information in the company, in the organization. But the one that is important to you for your job, it is important for them to make it available for you. And if a staff or an employee is not doing well, there's need for us to have questions. Have we given you the right tools? If yes, so why are you still not performing well? Is there any issue you are facing at home? If yes, how can we support? We might not support you financially. It can be the person might not even need financial support, probably mental support. Okay, take one day off, or take 1 week off, take 2 weeks off, just for you to be able to get yourself balanced and then come back. And if it's for them to subject them to learning, okay, what courses can you embark on to be able to improve your skill? Some companies actually made it mandatory that every year their employees must write professional exams, and they will be the one to foot the bill. And then another thing that is there is team bonding. How often is the atmosphere of the business a way whereby it is always work, work, work? There's no fun. If there's no fun, because we should be having fun with the work, how can we bring team bond there? How can we bond the team? And then also, we have to be very careful, because many companies engage on team bonding every now and then. I ask yourself, are they that disconnected that they are always embarking on what's it called, team bonding? Just them going on various trips, going on various vacations. And you ask yourself, okay, every now and then you're always going for team bonding. What's the disconnection? Why is everything disconnected? So it shows that something is wrong with that organization. So there's need for the company to be able to do what? Be moderate. Yes, there are some people that will be loyal, because all you need is employee loyalty. And once the employee sees that this company, and then there is a growth path. If you're working and you're not growing, then it's cause for concern. So an environment that is agile, particularly in this tech world, it shows that you must be up to date. So the company will be willing and ready to also ensure that you get the best result from them, provided you are also willing to give in your own quota. Nothing is free, even in free time, nothing is free. So you have to do what? Play your own part, for the company to play their own part, because we all know what the economy is saying. We all know that for every ₦1 you are spending, you must get the value for it. Nobody is in business for charity. Everybody is in business to make profit. Not just making profit, maximize profit. Not just maximizing profit, to be sustainable, to stand the test of time. Nobody accepts, we discover that we just want to be a project. What is a project? A temporary endeavor that has a beginning and an end. So we know that, okay, probably when we do whatever we need to do, get money from investors and run away. That's the end. It's a project. It's not a business. So business, you see people that have vision. They have everlasting vision. Look at what Elon Musk is doing. Look at what Tesla is doing. He is trying to build something that is out of this world. You've seen big organizations. Even here at Possible EVs, we are building stuff that is universal. From generations unborn, they will still feel them, but that is the age we have now. So everybody needs to be able to understand that we all need to work together to achieve the goal, because by the time the employees are fine, they are not just going to the workplace just because, after, I don't have any other option, this is what is in my hand now, I have to survive. Once an employee starts having that notion, then there's a problem. There is a problem. If the economy is not favorable, there are ways you want to cut costs, there are ways we go about it. Which business owner, we definitely, okay, come, there are some things we do, we have to cut costs because of what is happening. It's affecting everybody. So every business needs to get their house in order. So we need to ensure that they give them. And then also, even if you are doing the business is doing a loss for some employees, they are still hell-bent on destroying the business. They are hell-bent on destroying the business. When some people complain that there are some founders, some business people that are very wicked, blah, blah, I ask myself, this person might be learning from experience. Some people might have been good to the person, someone before, and the person destroyed that relationship. And from there, discovered that, okay, I won't be too lenient with anybody I employ moving forward. So, because for every action, there's a corresponding opposite words, the action.
Thank you. Well said, Okoyemi. And one thing you subtly mentioned, and I think is very important, is communication. Managing internal stakeholders involves communication. Same way managing external stakeholders also require. Because if you don't communicate and you just feel like everybody should just do what they are supposed to do, at some point you start seeing it as results. And it will be a long-term thing. You will not even know when things start. When things start deteriorating, that's because you did not communicate. Yes, you said well in that aspect. Stakeholders are important, right? But is there a point where you can discard the stakeholder? Are there, if you look at the power interest matrix, if you look at each boxes, are there kind of stakeholders that you can discard? Are there stakeholders that are stuck with you for life? When it comes to the life cycle, let's talk about the life cycle of each stakeholders now. Are there some that you can let go of? Are there some that you just have to find a way for it to work? If it does not work, it's going to kill your business. So let's talk about that.
Okay, there's what we called MOSCO model. MOSCOW. Now, it's an acronym for must have, should have, could have, and won't have. Now, I'm using this to be able to let you know that yes, we can actually discard some stakeholders. By the time you have done everything humanly possible to ensure that they are carried along and you've done your part, but it now seems as if the relationship cannot move forward. Now, must have, these are stakeholders that are important and they are urgent. They are important and they are urgent. Should have, they are stakeholders that are vital, they are important, but they are not urgent. They should have too. They can be important and urgent. They can be urgent and not important, and vice versa. Now, they could have, they are not important, they are not vital, they are not urgent, they are just nice to have. And they won't have, they are the people that they must not be involved. Even if they are involved from the beginning, and they now discover that the way they are going, it will affect the business, then you have to let them go. Because you will agree with me, without the business, employees cannot know one another. The business comes first. The business comes first. Without the business, I wouldn't have known the people I have known one way or the other way I've worked. So letting go of a stakeholder is never easy. It is never easy. But certain red flags can signal when it is time for us to move on. Conflict of interest is number one. Lack of alignment with the company's values. Negative impact on business operations. So these are factors that can lead to us to arrive at the conclusion that, okay, fine, we can no longer work with you. Another thing we can look at is, I don't know if you know what the Young Modulus Curve is, stress versus strain. Now, just like when you introduce a product to the society, to the, when you introduce a new product, there's introduction phase, there's growth phase, there's declination state. Now, by the time you get to a point that the value we are realizing from a particular product or a particular employee or a stakeholder is declining. Now, what are the factors that are making it to decline? Which are the ones that I've mentioned? Lack of alignment with the company's values or company's vision, negative impact on the operations. Now, these are the factors that can allow us, after we have tried every means to bring the person back from the point they've gone astray, and we now discover that, okay, fine, there's no way you throw a fan up, it's always fall at the flat surface, then we have no choice than to let them go at that point. Now, there's a study by Deloitte. They said 47% of businesses had to cut ties with stakeholders due to misalignment or risk of the company's reputation. When someone is tarnishing the image of the brand of a company, then it's time to let the person go. In this age whereby we have fake news everywhere now, even most of the media houses are not even helping matters. You won't verify before you just push somebody's image at a very bad shape, and it shows that they can go to any point to destroy the brand. And if you notice, good news don't spread faster than bad news. That is why it takes years to build, but it takes few minutes, few seconds to destroy what has been built over time. So when somebody is in that line of destroying what a company has built over time, then it's time to let the person go. Even if the person is so vital, it's time to let the person go. If the person's existence in that company is still valid, the company will definitely enter a state that they won't be able to recover from.
I see that the emphasis was on internal stakeholders. Does it mean that external stakeholders cannot be let go?
Of course, you can also let external stakeholders, you can let them go, but depends. You can't let the government, for example, you can't let them go. You can't let the government go. Now, you can let suppliers. If a supplier is being mono, if you have a customer that you are always using to supply you whatever things you need, and then all of a sudden the person starts inflating prices, then you have to do what? Let the person go. Investors, some investors can be greedy. When they discover the business is going, you already have a structured plan, you already have a contract in place already, because they see that the business is thriving, they might want to increase their share. But then you have to do it. And some believe that when they discover that they are at the without them you cannot survive, there are some that without them you cannot survive, you have to work around it to ensure that you establish a win-win situation. It is very, very key, because those ones, that I say, I use the Moscow model: must have, should have, could have, and won't have. So the must have, you know their power, you know their level of interest, so you have to be very careful to ensure that you manage them to the point that it is a win-win situation. Because once they leave, that's the end of the business. We've seen businesses that crumble because somebody left the organization and they couldn't work again. That happened, and it will still happen. But now, everybody is now being, we are now in an era whereby we are agile, and everybody's trying to know the next move of the other party. So it's important, except when you know the stakeholder, the external stakeholders wants to remove life from the person, then you have to just let the person go.
Thank you very much, Okoyemi. This has been a very insightful conversation.
You're welcome.
And I'm sure any business leader or manager that listens to this would be able to know where they should look into, because this analysis about the kind of stakeholders you have might just be what will save your business. You might have experienced in some matches and you're like, where is this coming from? If you can do an analysis of the importance of each stakeholders, their place and their influence in your business, I think it will help you to approach solving the problem. Thank you very much, Opeyemi, for...
Sorry, if you look at most companies that are thriving and all of a sudden they just went off grid, you will discover that the issue is minute. And what stakeholder management? Something as that's why I don't know if you've had this sentence before. If you are living, let's say you are in school, you have a roommate, and then some people they don't like pressing their toothpaste in the middle, and some people by the time you press in the middle of someone else's toothpaste, basically can flare up.
Yeah.
Something as small as that can destroy a relationship. So we need to be very careful to have an understanding of that person. So which means for each stakeholder, as a business owner, you must be the village people of each and every of the stakeholders. So you must know them in total. No matter what, you must try to have that relationship to be able to know, because at the end of the day, your business is number one. Your business is number one. And your business must stand the test. Because yes, people will come and people will go. But when they are going after you've developed them, they've achieved something for themselves, they've achieved something for your organization as well, then the relationship will now become mutual. That's how you see some people, when they leave the particular company and start their own company, they are still in touch with people that were working together before, and they are now on partnership level. And you see, that becomes a chain reaction. And then some people, they cut ties with other people because of something that goes wrong, and all of a sudden, those ones are off-grid. So it's important that we understand every stakeholder, no matter how, even to the cleaner, security, they are all important. They are all very, very important.
Yeah, very important. Every stakeholder is important. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. For more workplace-related content, head over to techpoint.africa/subject/work. All other relevant links will be included in the show notes as well. Don't forget to share your comments and suggestions by reaching out to us at mwc@techpoint.africa.